Thank you, honorable members. First, I would like to introduce myself. My name is Kungile Fengu. I'm the acting secretary. And next to me is Honorable Machesi. It's Honorable Robinson, Honorable Chewu, Honorable Machoba, Honorable Seke, Honorable Paola, and then maybe one of our secretaries of the Commons. Any apologies except for that of the chairman? This name is no apologies.
No. I haven't received any apologies except for our content advisor who's not going to be able.
Okay. Honorable members, today we are having a briefing by the National Treasury on gentlemen swimming on allocations of funding for the Department of Women, as well as the Gender Commission on Gender Responsive Budgeting. But I would like to give this opportunity to them to introduce themselves. Thereafter, we will get the presentation for them. Over to you, National Treasury.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning, honorable members. My name is Adim Gomezulu. I'm the Deputy Director General, heading Corporate Services in the National Treasury. On my left, we have Mr. Takalani Musekwa, the Director responsible for this important topic we will be discussing today. He's the Director of HR. And then on my right, they will get time to talk, they do presentations, but just to introduce them, it is Ms. Prudence Fairley from Budget Office, and then the extreme right is Mr. George Kembo from Public Finance, and the Parliamentary Office of Treasury, Lindile Padua. So, Chairperson, as you mentioned in your opening remarks, the request for a presentation actually covers three areas within National Treasury. One area is specifically within how Treasury as a department implements gender mainstreaming. The other is how public finance allocates funding to the Department on Women. And then the other part, obviously, is a gender responsive budgeting in the Treasury. So those are three distinct areas in the Treasury. That's why we brought experts from all those areas. Acting Chair, if I may indulge you, I know you have an agenda set by yourselves, but among us here, Mr. George Kembo is also requested to attend the Border Management Agency discussions. I think you have seen a lady coming here trying to poach her, and I sent her away saying, no way, this committee is equally important as their committee. So if I may indulge you, Chairperson, and we ask Mr. George Kembo to start with his presentation and he takes questions as well so that we can release him. And myself and Prudence and Takalani will remain for the remainder of the presentation. With your indulgence, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I see that we are not able to project the presentation. There is a problem with power which has started working. Okay. So the presentation is going to cover the following backgrounds. The evolution of the funding allocation for the Department of Women, Children, and People's Disabilities, the effects of the NMOS process, the National Macro Organization of the State, on the Department of Women, Children, and People's Disabilities, and the creation of the Department of Women, and the budget for that department, and then we shall also zero in on the administration program. For the Department of Women. So, the Department of Women has its genesis in the Department of Women, Children, and People with Disabilities. And that department began in 2009 and was set up to promote equity and access to development opportunities for these vulnerable groups in South Africa. Now, much as the department began them, the functions for the department already existed before the department was born. And there were functions relating to gender, disability, and children, which were located in the presidency. I think we can also say that even in many other departments, such as social development, you will find functions there that relate to gender, disability, and children. But in a very specific way, the function relating to gender, disability, and children in the presidency was ring-fenced and earmarked as the startup function for the Department of Women and Children and People's Disabilities. So the budget that the budget that you see there in slide 3, 15.8 million rand in 2010-11, 18.1 million rand in 11-12, and 16.9 million rand in 2012-13, was moved from the board of the presidency to the new Department of Women, Children and People's Disabilities. Relatedly also, the Commission for Gender Equality, which was located in the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, was shifted to the new Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities, together with its budget. Over the 2010 MTF period, there is additional funding of 30 million rand, 35 million rand and 40 million rand, which was allocated to the new department for information communication technology, personnel and capital expenditure. So, those numbers together with what was there for the Commission for Gender Equality, then added up to a budget of 97.8 million rand in 2010-11, 108.3 million rand in 2012, and 114.6 million rand in 2012-13. And in the years that followed, and while we still had this new department, its budget grew by inflation. In 2014, May 2014, the president announced the transfer of the functions related to children and people with disabilities from the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities to the Department of Social Development. And that function shift was implemented immediately in the 2014-15 financial year. Within the year itself, during the adjusted estimates of national spending. And these funds that related to those functions that were shifted, were moved to the Department of Social Development. And the Department of Women's budget, because now we have a new department, declined from 218.5 million rand in 2014-15 to 184.8 million rand in 2014-15. That table is slide 5. It's trying to capture the budget for the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities. As it began and as it then also ended up in 2014-15. I would like to highlight the last row. In the last row there you see numbers in the red. The numbers in red represent budget over expenditure, and in this specific instance, unauthorized expenditure. And then in the same row, the numbers in black, they represent under expenditure. So what we have here is that in 10, 11, and 11, 12, there was unauthorized expenditure incurred by the department because of the budget, because of the expenditure that exceeded the over budget allocated to the department. But after that, we have now the opposite. Now we have under expenditure by the department. So, what we have just looked at there demonstrates how the new departments of women, children, and people's abilities received additional funding, both through the MTEC processes and the adjusted estimate processes. And the budget for the department increased quite significantly between 10-11 and 11-4. Additional funding which was allocated over the MTEC process and also in here was used to capacitate the department's financial management and human resource management units to improve internal controls as well as better management of the department's financial resources. This was important because of the negative audit findings and the unauthorized expenditure in 10-11 and 11-12. The slide also does show very clearly that in the years that followed after 11-4, the problem of unauthorized expenditure was resolved. But now, another problem crept in, and that was that of the department spending less than what had been allocated to it. Slide 7 depicts the budget for the new Department of Women. So the Department of Women began in 1415 with a budget of 218,530,000 rand. Because of the function shift, the budget declined to 184,764,000 rand. And because of the function shifts, you see their total budget transfer to the Department of Social Development. That role, it tells you the budgets that migrated together with the functions to the Department of Social Development. And then the role just underneath gives you the breakdown of the money that migrated to the Department of Social Development. The new budget for the department includes also the budget for the Commission for Gender Equality. If you take out the budget for the Commission for Gender Equality, you remain with an operational budget of 117.6 million rand in 2014-15, 119.3 million rand. We've lost power. Okay, I think we can just use the handout. We do have handout. 119.3 million rand in 2015-16, and 126.4 million rand in 2016-17, and 103.6 million rand in 2017-18. Okay, in the next slide, which is slide 18, we have the budget for the new Department of Women as it was allocated over the current MTF period, which is the 2016 MTF period. So we have a total budget in the 2016-17 of 196,887,000 rand. And in 17-18, 207,440,000 rand. And in 18-19, 216,876,000 rand. We want to repeat again that this budget does include the budget for the Commission for Gender Equality. And if you want to know the operational budget, you have to take out the budget for the Commission for Gender Equality. And the slide does show you what that operational budget is. As a department, just like any other department, through the budget processes, there have been budget increases. There have been increases of the budget, but also reductions. The slide also shows you the composition, the program composition of the departments, and also the budget for the various programs. So we have the following programs: the administration, social transformation and economic empowerment, policy, stakeholder coordination and knowledge management.
Now when we look at those programs, we find that the administration...
Okay, the administration program represents about 70% of the budget, so it's the largest component of the department. And because administration makes up 70% of the budget, we thought, let us then look at what is in the administration program. And in the next slide, which is slide 9, we have there a breakdown of the administration program. The largest part of administration is made up of the ministry. The second largest part is corporate services. The third largest part is departmental management. The fourth largest part is office accommodation. And then the smallest part of administration is financial management. These sub-programs are supported by a funded establishment of 81 posts in corporate services, 13 in ministry, 22 in departmental management, and 15 in financial management. We want to highlight here the fact that the ministry occupies a very large part of the administration program. And also there are two additional funded positions outside the establishment in the office of the DG, one at the DG level and one at the direct level. We think that, I've now moved to the last slides. We think that the department should consider reducing the size of the ministry and reprioritizing the two additional posts in the office of the DG to its core programs. We're hoping to engage, and we continue to engage, with the Department of Women and the Department of Public Service and Administration to agree on an acceptable size of the administration program for a department of the size of the Department of Women. So, ultimately what we're saying is that the programs should be funded more than the administration program. And to the extent that it may be possible to remove resources from the administration program to the other programs. We want to engage the department and have a discussion with them on that. That is all, Chairperson.
Okay. Thanks for the presentation. As we have heard this, George is, Mr. George is going, and any of the questions, Honorable Fanny Hernandez, Honorable Teke, Honorable Chewu, Honorable Robinson, and Honorable Machiki. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to the colleagues of Treasury. I'm a bit surprised by your comments, I must say, because we've been having a fight with this department for a very long time, because we are concerned that they are spending the bulk of their money in administration, which leaves very little money for them to execute their core mandate. And it's a struggle that we've been having with them for quite a number, not only in this parliament, but even before when they were just the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities. And in the discussions that we've been having with them since the newly established department, because if you look at the structure of it, all the money goes to administration, very little to core programs. But when we engage them on it, they are telling us that they're unable to, you know, make any changes, because these are changes that the structure of the administration program is given to them by government in terms of the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation. So they are saying to us that this is an issue which it's a bare minimum structure, something that they cannot change or alter, because otherwise it will leave them not being able to run the department properly. But the question that arises, because if you look at it, it's very top heavy, very little in the core programs where we need to see monitoring and evaluation taking place. So I need to get clarity there, because whenever we engage them on this issue, it seems to us the answer that we're getting is A, it cannot be changed, B, because it's given to us in that way, in that formula, and C, they will be engaging with Treasury for more money for their programs, because their funding model is not sufficient. So really we needed to get some clarity on that, because I think what you've been saying is exactly what we've been saying, but then I don't understand what they've been giving to us as an answer for almost 2 years. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I'm covered by the privilege, because this is the findings that we have been engaging with the department since inception, actually. Because also this structure, which is of him, is also affecting our performance. When you look at the annual report, since from, you know, way back, they are not performing in terms of, especially in Program 2 and Program 3. It's only 3 programs, until now there's just a program to do. But I'm also surprised, because the National Children is saying they're going to engage them. I'm not quite sure whether because of their engagement with us, they're going to engage them further, or is it something that has been in the pipeline before. So I just want to check the time frame, if you're then going to, because it's a problem to also, when, how do you allocate money to such a department? More especially, in terms of performance, they are not performing well in the department. They've got a lot of under expenditure something. So how would you then allocate to a department, you know, which is not performing? And secondly, what is the support? How do you support departments that are, you know, similar to this one? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think I'll make a political statement first before I can even analyze the budgeting. Firstly, the department is supposed to solve 3 main issues that affect women: inequality, poverty, and unemployment. Before even it became a monitoring and evaluation department, before departments were forced to mainstream, from the beginning, National Treasury did not provide the proper resources. It shows that you did not understand what is their responsibility. That department has a huge responsibility to redress their public structure in terms of how the economy treats women, basically. If you want the economy to perform, it means that the portion, the 52% of the population that you suppressing in the economy, because you must remember their public economy suppressed women. So it suppressed 52% of the population. If you want to redress that, it means the majority of the resources must be put in ensuring that particular section of the population is upgraded. It doesn't matter in which department it has to be upgraded by government, because the women were oppressed by government. They must be. The second thing that we must also do is to help different departments, you being national treasurer, because you develop in acts. Your financial acts are developed directly from the department. Your acts are supposed to help us to go out of that problem. And our acts are helping us go anyway. That is the starting point. Secondly, the human resource that goes into the department, because it's a new department, and when they came into that department, they didn't know what they are supposed to do. I don't know what mechanisms you have as a national treasurer in helping this department go out of the problem. The reality of the situation is that women are hungry, and they have children that are malnutrition because of their own position. If women are hungry, their children are hungry. You see? So we don't have programs throughout other departments that are enabling women to go out of poverty. You see? So you have a huge, huge responsibility. It's not just a responsibility. I mean, you give them 91 million. What will they do with 91 million in the first place? What will you do? Nationally, they don't have provincial departments. You must remember, this department does not have provincial departments. At national level, if they don't have those anchors, what will they do in different provinces? Even today, they still struggle with how will they implement even their programs, the three programs that we're talking about. When they evaluate provinces, how will they evaluate provinces? They're still struggling with the restructuring of that particular program. I think you are positioned to help them, because you do this act so that we can heal our country out of the three issues. Maybe go to straight to the question that you have put in there. I hear that, Mr. Church, you were happy that the additional funding was to help them do financial management and human resource. Our main issue is that they need to put more human resource with the monitoring. If they have to monitor all the departments that are there, most people have to be located there to monitor those departments. Because departments are not implementing anything that is to elevate women out of their positions. They are just complying. I'm not sure what you want from them, but they're just complying. You know, they're written the gender officer. The
what do you call them? Okay. Those gender officers in foreign development.
Gender focal points. Those gender focal points are not decision makers. They are just there as officers. They never take decisions on issues that happen in foreign departments. So they are useless for us as the portfolio. Because initially, when we initiated those gender focal points in different departments, we wanted them to be decision makers, even taking a budget into consideration, ensuring that programs that they allocate to women are allocated and executed by them. Unfortunately, they don't do that. So we necessarily don't have people that are helping us to go out of the three issues that I have raised with yourself. And the third part is that the department, with the little money that you're giving them, they're also not performing. And the next question is the CGE. CGE is given the less money than any other commission. With that mammoth responsibility, you even give it lesser money. Why do you give the public protector more money than any other commission? I don't understand. What is the responsibility? The responsibility of the public protector, the responsibility of Human Rights Commission, and the responsibility of CGE. Who has the most responsibility in this country? You know? But I don't know how you, what makes you, discriminate one commission over the other. I don't know. Maybe you should school me on these issues. How do you get into giving those amounts that are not equal? If we really want to fight discrimination, why do you have to give, it goes back to that thing we have been complaining about, that women's issues are never taken seriously. It doesn't matter by who. Everybody, when they think women, they think, no, these are non-entities. They just have to get anything that we give them, and they must accept it. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. I agree largely with what has been said before, but I also think that the question has been asked, why don't you do this, why don't you do that? And I think it's because your master is telling you not to. You are decision makers, but it's the political direction where women are disregarded, where women are not considered important. Yes, we have the Women's Day, we have the 16 day, but they are purely tokens. If I think of a point that was made by Honourable van der Merwe about the cost for the Women's Day celebrations, vast amount of money. I'm not saying we mustn't celebrate women. We must revere them. But I'm saying that, and I think this is what she was implying as well, that you have got a vast celebration that costs a lot of money. It's over and gone in one day. Singing, dancing speeches at which the President and the Deputy President fall asleep. So if they do not have, I saw them, if we did, anyway, they did wake up in between. But this is the problem, that the direction against women is wrong, and we need to do exactly what my colleague has said. So women need to be upgraded, they need to be given the opportunity, but quite frankly, I don't think this department is doing its job, and what was the purpose of creating it in the first place? With little funding, with little mandate, it was there again as cherry on top to be a token of what is being done for women. So can I now just come to the point? The gender-sensitive budgeting, which we haven't got onto yet, but you won't be here for that, I think it says very little. We need to have more ability to make sure that women are truly being empowered, that all the departments are making sure that people, that women are given equal opportunities so that they can grow and that they can bring other people along with them as well. I'm concerned that a lot of money is spent on administration. It's already been agreed to by my colleagues. Why so much administration? Why not so much implementation? Why not monitor so that we can correct things? I'm also concerned that so much money is spent on training. Yes, people need to be trained, but these people who have been appointed are highly skilled people. And if you appoint people to a job, they should be fit for purpose. They shouldn't have to spend the entire years being trained even more, otherwise they shouldn't have been appointed. So we are spending money supposedly to help women, but I don't think it is. And this is why this department is actually a total failure. We would like it to be successful. But quite honestly, I think the fact that much of the implementation was taken to DSC is probably a good thing. But is the monitoring and is the supposed gender-sensitive budgeting, which is not happening, this is very thin. We're going to still talk about that. Make me just say, I think we're pouring money down a dark hole and we're not really looking after the women of our country. Thank you.
Okay. Before you, I've seen a lot of chairs raising their hands. Yes.
I want to disagree with my honourable here, because firstly, to start with, it's the African culture to celebrate, you know. So you should not undermine it. If in white culture you don't celebrate, our African culture, whatever happens, which is good, we celebrate. Even when there is a wedding, because people were actually. Why we were singing in the Mandela funeral, it is in the African culture. If the constitution recognized diversity, then people must learn to recognize that in our culture, we don't do things like them. So we have to spend money on celebrating our achievements. It is an achievement that I got the right to vote. You had the right and you did not celebrate it. When white women were given the right to vote, they did not celebrate it because they did not see it as anything to celebrate about.
I'm
speaking now. When you spoke, you didn't want us to speak. And when it is our time, it's our African culture to show our respect for that particular thing that we have achieved. It was achieved out of the struggles of people. People died just to vote. you know? And that in itself, it is an achievement for us as women. And no one must have achieved it. If the president is asleep, I don't know how did you see him, because you were sitting in the tent with us. How did you see somebody on the podium that was sleeping there? So because people have an obsession with our president, anything that is done by the president is not good. So we cannot accept here that people must come and undermine our own president. When we don't undermine their own leaders, you see? So we must be respected the same way. And finally, issue of training. Any corporate, even corporate companies, train their people. You appoint a person, but you train that person to move that person to a level that you want in that corporate environment. So that there's nothing wrong with Treasury giving us money for training people. People have to be trained to improve their skills all the time, despite that they are qualified to do the job. And this notion that every time black people are appointed, they are appointed on the basis that they are not skilled. Why do we have to question that? If black people are skilled in that, why do we have to have people that are unskilled? It's not true. Every time the DA stands and raises an issue, it's because it is a black person is not skilled. Yeah. There's no such. There are black people that are black people. I think you're qualified to be in your position. But this National Treasury wants to up your skills. They have the right, each department has the right to have training in that particular level so that it takes you every time to improve your skills. So this thing of saying the training money is not supposed to be there in the department, it has to be there. And then this thing of always people thinking, they also want to address this thing of career development. When Washington, whoever in Washington or the Republicans or the Democrats take they take office, they come with their own people. Same as to the DA. When he took office in the Western Cape, they expelled our people there. And nobody said anything about gender development. But if it is the African National Congress that appoints people, it is gender development. Anywhere in the world you can go to Australia, everywhere. When people take office, they appoint their own people. It's only in South Africa that they allow the sunset clause. And that sunset clause makes people to undermine us even today. That is why we are not able to deliver any service delivery. Yes.
No, I will not allow the dialogue, because we all know that when you move to a new office, then it's supposed to be a training to all the staff, because people are being appointed, they should be trained. Even in Parliament, members of Parliament are eligible to be trained if they want to be trained. And therefore, I don't want to give this as a dialogue, but I would like to give the opportunity to my chair. Thank you.
Chair, I just want to correct one deception, if I may.
No, you will correct it outside.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, maybe, yes. Yeah, it's true, Honorable Tseke, because we don't have to discuss with other people that are outside here in this meeting, because our main aim is to look at the gender support and budgeting for women, not other things.
I think, Chair, thank you to National Treasury. You said we're well pleased, but sorry about that. You know, my issue with the department is the fact that we are having a very small budget. I think everyone has said that. And I think it's very unfair that this department is expected to perform to the same standard as any other department just has a budget. It's like, for instance, giving me a bicycle and expecting me to perform like a car. So I've read this issue of mirroring, you know, to having this department to be mirrored exactly like a big department. This is a service department, and that's what, anyway, the department, you know, the DG has always been saying, that we depend on, you know, on manpower to be able to do the work. So our issue with the administration, how the fact that you have a huge number of employees within administration, so we suggested that they must be moved to other programs to be able to allow the departments to be effective. So I just want to say, if it's possible, can it be structured in a way that it doesn't mirror the other departments? I think maybe something that maybe you can get. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Allow it to perform in small scale and also an understanding of what its mandate is. the members of the department is to ensure that the other departments, all the other departments, their empowerment, gender empowerment happens through focal points. So the problem with the focal points is that those departments dictate the focal points, they're the focal points. They are the ones who pay them. Like, for instance, if I'm going to make an example, if I have someone that's working for me, I'm paying them, I can't have somebody else telling them what to do when I'm the one who's paying them. So obviously, there's already a conflict there. Because I'm paying you, so I'm expecting you to do what I want you to do. So now you have the Department of Women, the minister, being the one that's going to take to people that are working in solar power pointing money. Those people account to the minister of mine of money. So there is that part of like a disaster. Because then, you know, obviously what we are seeing now, there's no accountability. They are not doing what is expected them to do. What the ministry, the Ministry of Women should be in the first place, they're not in the right offices, they don't hold the right positions, and also their job allocation, it has nothing to do with gender focal points, which is what the Ministry of Women would expect them to do. I don't know if that you can actually look at that as well. The other thing that is a bit disappointing, you know, I think it's just the government thing. The reason why we've asked you for you to come to us is because of the funding. And it was specifically talking about the allocation of funds to this department. Now you come and you're telling me that in 2018, 2019, you're going to be giving us how much? That means, I mean, I'm not going to see any change in this department, basically. I mean, we can just take and go, because with this budget that we have, nothing has been achieved, nothing has been accomplished, and we're not continuously accomplishing anything for the next 3 years. I mean, really. And also, we have said many times that this department is spending 17 million on rent. Again, out of that, we're saying that for the next so many years, they'll be spending that kind of money. That's coming back to the same point. Allowing a small department like this to behave like a big department. 17 million rent on a small budget like that. I mean, I would definitely think that's one thing that you look at, the first thing to say, move away from this. CGE has 6 buildings that they are paying for, and in total they are paying 2 million a year. So why should this department be paying 17 million for rent? I'm going to ask you if you can just address that. And then the other thing, the issue of training, you know, it was basically, I think, Honorable Denise was talking about this particular department, that, you know, you have people that have been in the department for a very long time, but then you find that, like, you know, they're not meeting the requirements, like, in the sense that, you know, you say that we've got so far, you know, because there's a lot of reports that need to be written. Then you find that a lot of reports are on draft. They continue to be on draft. They're not being completed. So basically, just to understand these skills, if they have the right skills, and why is it that they're not utilizing the skills that they were basically appointed based on having. I think maybe that's what she was trying to say about the issue of training. But otherwise, just the administration issue, the rent issue, and also just making sure that, like, this department is not held accountable for not performing like a big, Arabic, well-resourced department. It's a small department, and it needs to be really resourced seriously to perform like small department as it is. And this is the smallest, so it is a challenge, I think, for the ministers to run it properly. But if we can actually look at that. And also thank you for the Irishin colored presentation for a very long time, because you said austerity measures. But it's only for us, not for you.
Thanks. I'm going to go to the house.
ungabanakekeli abantu besifazane. Kunezinkinga ezikhombisa ukuthi nina aniziboni izidingo zabantu zifanele. Kulo mnyango kunokunganakwa ngokusebenza kwezimali. Le nto yokutshengisa ukuthi kunezimali ezisebenze kakhulu, overspendage. Phinde futhi kuthiwa i-understanditure, izimali ezibuyele emuva. Umbuzo wami uthi rathi nisebenzise iy'mali ezinkulu naphinda futhi nabuyisela ezinye emuva, ziqhamuke phinde bese y'buyele emuva phela uredi bese uyisebenze kakhulu. Okunye nikuhlala kumina. Okwesibili, yini eyenza ukuthi uma ngabe kuphuma izimali niyakwazi ukulandela ukuthi kwenze ukuthi imali isebenza kanjani? Ngoba le mali uma ngase ngibuze ukuthi kungani eyenze ukuthi ingasebenzeke ningitshela. Kanti ngizoyifuna impendulo ukuthi kungani le mali ezibuyela emuva ingasebenzanga ekubeni abantu bakithi behlupheka bakhubazekile abesifazane bogogo. Okunye-ke la engifuna sikusho, ngiyazi kuzoba buhlungu kodwa iqiniso le-fashion keep ngoba silala sihlele ekomitini sinezinhleso ezifanayo ukuthi eqiniso ezibe labantu. Nami ngiyakhala la kuba khona uminista khona imibuzo bengizombuza wona ngqo. Kunezinto engakhala ngazo la ngifika la. Kunontombazana wamathonsi o-Jay emadanini okhubazekile ohlala emqashweni onengane na-9 years. Le ndlu yanetha zonke iy'khukhula ngena kuyena. Ufundile lo mntwana kade uthisha impilo yomuntu ihlalashintsha kodwa angikaze libone usizo kulenzeka kuyena. Okunye kunogogo akaze mtamsule. Okunye nogogo abamajola kungabantu besifazane kalo engakhala ngaye nini onendlu ongasuke uyingenele ube ngaphakathi esekeza ngasukisa ngisho abakakho kuthi abanye kuyibheka lutho. Lo mnyango usiza ngani kulabo bantu esikhuluma ngabo? Okokugcina, mina ngiyakhala bafethu. Uyabona asisho ukuthi uminista noma lo-treasurer kwakungafanele axhase izinto zabantu besifazane mhlawumbe laba abayizingqala mabutho zibutho. Kodwa mina ngibona sengathi kunokuxhaphaza izimali zabakhokhentela kufana ziyakubona ngqo. Babona lo mcimbi esekhathaza wona la. Satshelwa thina ezifu thina sihamba ngokwe-portfolio committee. Kanti laphayana to-celebrate i-Women's Day. Ngiyakhala ngoba hlala le mahotela ahadla. Kwaye labantu bakithi behlupheka. Mina-ke ngikhala ngokuthi uminista ngifuna aphendule ngoba angikhumbuli ukuthi njengoba lasikho la ngokwama-politician kuzobethethwe lezimali ziyongena lapho. Yilento efanayo ukuthi lo mnyango wenu mina ngumone umsizi umuntu wakithi wayeshata Afrika bayakhuzaza abantu bathi bayahlupheka balambile and okokuqala kuneyazi kahle ukuthi especially uma sizosho imnyama sivele obala akunamafelokazi. Ababelokazi abangathathi into emthola ukuthi umuntu ushole nomkhwenyana wakhe akaholisha impesheni. Kunengane afuna yisho esikoleni kufuneka akhokhela amanzi egcekeni kufuneka akhokhela ugesi la. Asibone besizakala nokuthi banikezeke nje amashansi ukuthi nakho sibavulela ama-project nabanawo siyabaxhasa baqhubekela phambili kuphela gcina lo mnyango wenza izinto. And secondly ngokugcina nje lo mnyango wenu alingasho ukuthi owabantu abakhubazekile nabantu besifazane ngoba ugcina ungayenzi kungona ukuba izinto because uzonje kuqale thathela kuthina nemali eniyifakazi ncane futhi nalezi ey'ncane niganga ngazo ukuthi ngiyabonga.
Okay, before you interpret this, maybe if I can advise Mankaula, because you know what you're talking now, you're talking about your constituency work that you are doing. You have mentioned some of the issues that you are supposed to take to other departments as member of this portfolio committee. Because what now we are doing as this portfolio of women, we are monitoring other departments, whatever they are doing when it comes to gender mainstream.
So what you have to do is to take those issues and give it to the relevant department that you are supposed to as a member of parliament. I'll get to the interpretation, thereafter I'll ask the questions. Thank you.
What was written by Mam Kaula previously. Thanks, Chair. Although I see no help from this department, do you realize that there is a problem? This shows the carelessness and negligence in the handling of money by the department. The overspending as well as the underspending, how does this happen? What was the understanding? Why was there an understanding? You do not show any expertise in money handling. And I once spoke to a certain old man, Koko Majolo, in Ward 55 in Devon. I also spoke to this Matondi, who is disabled and being a who is paying rent in a section. She stays with a 9-year-old child in a leaking house. They haven't got any assistance from the department. Koko Kwabe in a section 8-10-90 once fell in a toilet ditch where her house was destroyed by during flooding. I just want to know, how does your department help during these instances? And lastly, on the 9th of August 2016, you once took us to Pretoria to an ANC occasion where the taxpayer money was expended fruitlessly. And because we thought it was an oversight trip, not knowing that it was an ANC celebration, it was celebrated there. The minister should account about this because people get no help. They are suffering left, right and center with no assistance given to them. Thank you.
Okay. National Treasurer, this is not the department. You're supposed to ask us a question to the department last week while we were meeting with them. So now we are meeting the National Treasury. They will not be able to respond to some of the issues that are belonging to the department.
The National Treasury could have shown it when you are out of the woman most of the time. This is... When I'm on the job, I'm going to look at the abantu abazodala sengithatha ngiphinda ngizolukhuluma la. Kana nje nasikhuluma ngabantu besifazane. Yingoba sengibona ukuthi angibuyi. And phila ngoba simbondo National Treasury la. Funa nje nokushayela abantu abaphambi kwethu. Bona babuyele boshaye phambili. Kuze bazi la ukuthi thina lapho sinezinto ezifushayo. Baya ngesho abantu, nabantu bangathi angiyikhathele. Uyayibona iy'nkinga ezikhona abantu besifazane. Ngiyabonga.
Okay.
Disciplined women, that's a behavior. I think the CGE is presented, actually there was a 33 million which was supposed to be condoned by National Treasury. I think it was in previously when the CGE was not performing, you know, around 2008-2009 or 2009-2010. And the CGE says that they have been meeting the National Treasury for condonement of those money. So I'm not quite sure why in terms of that. Thank you.
Thanks, General Members. My question is around the issue of as you have heard from the honorable members that our department is not functioning well when it comes to achieving its targets through their programs. But we do have other departments which have the gender and the gender programs. And as this portfolio committee, we are able to invite other departments so as to know what are their targets and whether they have compliance with what they are supposed to do on gender mainstreaming. But what we have found from them is that the funds that are used are not used as it's supposed to be. Instead, they are used for other programs. So what I would like to know from the Treasury is whether they do monitor that the funds allocated for gender mainstreaming is used, if not used, to be ring-fenced to do what it's supposed to do. for the women, for this popular committee, to see that the women are economically empowered. So we feel that if other departments are not using the funds that are allocated for tournament, this will make this department wanting, because of this, of that, that is why as this popular committee will always say that the allocation of this department is not enough to do the monitoring to all these other departments. But what we would also like to know is whether the National Treasury is making sure that the money that is allocated for this department is increased instead of decreasing almost every time, because we have seen that this money is not enough. We've got so many departments that we are supposed to monitor, and for that allocation, we find that we are able even to look at that. And the other thing is the changing of the people that are doing the jobs in the department. Sometimes most of them are leaving the department, they are coming, the new personnel, the others, they are leaving, and the others are coming in, and actually almost that is why we are saying that the issue of training of those new personnel that is coming to the department is so crucial. So we won't be able to, as DCC, to say that the department should not have to train the new personnel that is always coming to this department. Thank you. I will give you then the opportunity to respond to some of the issues that have been raised by this member. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The budget that has been allocated to the Department of Women can be moved around. The department has the power to do that, working with us, to move money from administration to the other two programs. So it is not the case that they are bound to keep the budget administration the way it is. At the beginning of the department, there was about 12 million rands which had been allocated for the deputy minister. Deputy minister migrated to social development, and the 12 million rand remained in the department. And we said to the department, use that 12 million rand in the other programs. And the department did not do that. They retained the 12 million rand in the ministry. Yeah.
Okay,
can you
clarify this? 12 million or 2 million?
12 million rand.
12 million rand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. This is a new department, just like small business development and other new departments that have been introduced. And the new department has arrived at a time when the economy is not growing, and there isn't much money. Now, honestly, you would say that this affects everyone. Yes, but probably it becomes difficult then to provide the new money that is required for the new department. And any money that is provided for the new department has to be reprioritized from existing services of the other departments. All right. Now, the department's budget has been growing. If you look at the budget for the department, it's been growing since its inception. It may not be growing at the rate that you would like to see it growing. Yeah. But that being the case, it also doesn't help if the department is failing to spend the little that it has. If we're going to take money from other departments and give it to the Department of Women, it must be the case that the Department of Women is spending its budget efficiently. So that is something that the accounting officer for the Department of Women is attending to or needs to attend to. And the extent of spending in 2016, I have been advised, is more in line with what is expected. But before that, the department had a problem of underspending. And as who motivates for the department, find it difficult to persuade the committees that the department will spend the money if the department is not spending all the money that is allocated to it. Now, because this is a small department with a small budget, it's also important, I think, to accept that the department should not be expected to accomplish objectives and outputs that are outside the capacity of the funding that's provided to the department. So in defining performance targets, outputs, and so on, we've always said to the department, yes, we know that you want to do more for the people, but bear in mind you only have so much, and you will do yourselves a great service if you can define outputs that are consistent with the size of the budget, and then proceed to achieve those targets. That helps to create confidence that the department has developed sufficient capacity to absorb higher levels of funding in the future. And probably we are moving towards that point. As I indicated, the problem of underspending seems to be going away. If you look at the budget of the department, as I said, every year it's been growing. Small amounts, but it's been growing by inflation in some years and by more than inflation in other years. We are going to meet with the department in the coming weeks, because now there is the MTEC process that we are seized with, and we are engaging with the Department of Women. Ultimately, it is important that there be defined for the department a mandate and a set of objectives that are attainable, but that are also in line with the funding that will be provided to the department. And in line with that objective, the department has conducted a study. I don't know whether the department has shared with you the study where they are trying to define the mandate and objectives and strategic plans of the department, and also to understand how they will be funded over time. It may be a good thing for the department to share with you the outcome of that study. So the outcome of that study should help the department and ourselves to work together to see how the mandate of the department can be funded going forward. The budget process involves more than just the National Treasury. There is a committee of ministers, then there is cabinet, and then of course there is parliament. And we play our part, the committees play their part, cabinet plays its part, and then parliament also plays their part. So we make recommendations, and the committees further up look at those recommendations and look at the size of the envelope for the economy as a whole and competing interests against that envelope, and then they make the decisions. Um, the accommodation matter, I will raise it with the Department of Public Works, so that they can try to see whether there is a solution that is cheaper for the Department of Labor. As you said, the rent is high. Yeah. On the irregular expenditure, the irregular expenditure of the Commission for Gender Equality, the matter is in the hands of the Office of the Accountant General. He's dealing with that application for condolment. I will find out how far they are. Those are the few questions I could answer.
Thank you, Chief. There is one I wanted to say, just because, like, please, I'm going to have an opportunity to speak to the minister, because, you know, we've done our part, but somehow it looks like, you know, we don't come to the same understanding of what we would like to see. When you're talking about the budget, you know, you say that they're not efficient, whatever, with their budget. But if you have to consider the percentage of the budget of the entire fiscal of the country, it's about 0.01%. 0.01%. That's why the department, what they do with that money, they just go and spend it on events. Most of the time, it's just events. It becomes an event thing. So, and the department itself, the fact that, like, you know, it has to behave like any other department, but it doesn't have the resources. That I'm asking you, please look at the structure and advise amongst yourselves, maybe see how it is that you can actually maybe structure it in a way that it becomes efficient. And if you think about the general focal points, what I would suggest is that instead of them being paid by the department where they are at, so accountability, let the department women pay general focal points officers so that they can be accountable to them. That is an idea that we can have to say, also find who is accountable to who. So that we make sure that they're the right offices and they're also accountable to the Department of Women and being paid by the Department of Women. That could be some kind of solution.
I accept that in case. The general focal point must be given positions of power.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The right position.
Which is in the agreement. Not only be paid by the department, but take decision in those particular areas.
Position.
Mm-hmm.
Position.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. I like this, you know, the suggestions that have just been made, but I just wanted to query when you said this is a new department. It started in 2004. So we're quite a long way. I know there have been permutations, but has this thinking of the restructuring and doing what you say, has that been constant ever since 2004? I know we've had many changes, but how optimistic are you that we can actually make changes now that are going to be significant and are really going to be helping women on the ground? That is my concern. Thank you.
Now, Nicola. Ngibonga sikhathi nginenkinga kanti phela ngazi imibekele nje zona. Ufuna ukuloke ngihlabisa kan no, mina ngiyezwa kuthiwa vele umlomo yihawu lokuziphungela ngezulu. Bengiyozela mina ukuthi kulumnyango elinye ilanga ngenisikhombise nje okugodwa okuthiwa nakho sikwenzele abantu besifazane noma lezimali siyabona ukuthi cha zisebenzile yebo kwezincane zona kodwa nakho zibenzile ngoba nje mina ngifuna ukuqamba amanga angiboni lutho ngilenziwa yilo mnyango akukhona okonde nengingakukhomba instead of that ke ngibona uminista eshayeli laphayana ekhuluma kamnandi kuze kushawa ihlombe kukhulu okwenzayo andangomnyango while abantu bakithi benjani behlupheka Si manje abantu bakuthi abanawo amanzi. Asikanye simbone uminisa kungonotheka kwakhiwe isegisi amadamu emhlalo ngabantu khona ukuze bakwazi batshala iyivande bakwazi ukuthi baphile nendeni yabo. Ngikhulume ngabaselokazi ukuthi nabo bakhona kulo mnyango. Ilokho nje. And ngigcine angineshikhamba ngifunihlala eduze kathethe. Uyangihlukumeza ngendlela angaziwa manje uyangihlabisa. Akafuni ngikhulume ngendlela lena engithunywa abantu lami ephalamende nabonke.
I think we should understand what this department is all about, especially this department of women, because we've got other departments, you know. This department is doing the monitoring of other departments with one enzani, the mamanima department.
That
is why we have invited the National Treasury for them to look at the issues that have been raised by other members.
Ababuye emuva ke beyosho ukuthi nje bathola uzero akho lutho kwenzakalayo la.
Angeze kusho lutho lapho ba angeze ngibona uzero. Okay, if you can respond to that.
Okay, so the question was, are we approaching that point where we could expect significant results? Is that question? I think at the conceptual level, we are getting somewhere. A department that was founded through legislation. This department has had to map out its mandate, objectives, and so on, and that says a study has been conducted. So what I'm hoping is that in terms of what the department should be doing, at the conceptual level, I think we are getting somewhere. The focus is now, as I see, moving towards women empowerment, rather than everything that one could deal with. And I think that is enough. I'm not saying the other things will not be dealt with. They will be dealt with, I guess, in time, as the economy grows and has more resources. But at the moment, the department is focusing on women empowerment. I think that's a very helpful thing.
I'm asking this question.
I think it was the second or third quarter report of the department.
You know, it was such a surprise to the portfolio committee that they've changed altogether. They've changed the targets. They presented a new APP. They've changed all the in the first quarter. They've changed all the programs of the department, and we told them this is going to affect even their performance at the end of the year. So, and to us, it seems as if they don't have capacity. Because even now, the end of the year, the financial year, they've got many targets that were not implemented. So, that's why I'm saying to you, are you sure of what you are saying? And to me, Chair, I just wanted to get what kind of support is actually given to the department. Because if we, you know, move forward with this kind of attitude, we are not going to get it right. But the women of this country are just waiting patiently to see what kind of you know, support that the department goes to give to women of Africa. So, but it seems as if we are not getting there. So, what kind of support are you getting the National Treasury to? That to me, they don't have capacity. Because a simple thing of compiling your financial, you know, your financial, what is that? A financial statement. It's just a challenge. AG rates, it's just a challenge to them. So the issue of capacity is one. It's just a problem within the department. So I'm not quite sure going forward what is it that we are expecting.
Okay.
Honorable
Chair.
Yeah,
actually, the National Treasury should be giving even more money to the CGE, because even in all the things that we wanted the CGE to do, they have been improving. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, National Treasury is not interested in their funds, you know, because their funds are embedded in the department budget. And that's the that is why I was saying commission has to be treated as an entity, not as an integral part of the department. The department has to do its own share, and the share of the department, if the department is not performing, you can't punish the GE. You see, even when CGE presents its financial report, you can see that there's so much performance. In the last 3 years, they have performed so much. So we feel that you need to separate their funding, you know? Even if legislatively it is embedded within the department. So increase their funding while we're still dealing with the department to get its act together. But the ones that have got their act together have to be appraised, you know? So that's the bottom line here. Don't put them in one pot. We know that they are in one pot, but you can see whatever that is saying as the portfolio committee to the CGE, they have improved. You see? So do consider that improvement as an entity for themselves. And then the difficulty with the department, we will have to address it separately. And that's my plea to you today. Thank you.
To the National Treasury, but what I fully agree with the honourable members when you have finished the CGE allocation to the interest, because what I want to know from the National Treasury is whether when you give the money to the department, do you say, do you tell the department that you have an allocation of so much money for the CGE, because I'm worried whether you can increase the money, but the department will give the CGE maybe an increase of 2% off, you know, is it mine by then, you know, okay. Or if you do not, no, I fully agree with the members that the CGE should allocate the increase, because what we are seeing from the CGE is that the CGE is the good business. When we told them that, no, you have to do this and this and that, they do it as we have told them. But when it comes to the department, where the problem is, because we told the department what to do, and the department, they don't do what we are telling them to do. So it seems as if now the failure of the department is the failure of us as a PC, as a portfolio committee, because what they are doing now, it seems as if they don't even listen to us. But I want to know whether when you're saying that you may have met with the department, and you're also going to meet with the department, whether you have met with the minister, because we have been met with the minister is not even cooperating. You know, sometimes we told him that minister, we want this and that, and that to happen to the department. Then eventually we find that there is something that has to change. As we have heard from Honorable Frege that even in the APC, all the things they were changed without the knowledge of the portfolio committee, and we are not even advised that there will be changes. So now we are telling us that there is a study that they are dealing with it, but as this portfolio committee don't have any knowledge of that. So that means when we come to another quarter, then we will be told that everything has changed all over. So that means there will be continuous issues from this department, which is very challenging to us as members of this authority. Thank you. Honorable, Kaole, we will go up to the
mathematics.
Okay. Is it
in... Yeah, but I'm
sorry. Okay, before that, ma'am. I have to release Babu George.
Okay. Yeah.
So that you can respond to my question that I've done.
Okay.
Yes, funding for the CGE is earmarked and is ring-fenced, and it would be illegal for the department to touch that money, to use that money. The money goes to the department and is supposed to transfer it to the Commission for Gender Equality.
We are a little bit. May I please just propose formally, gentlemen, that's fine as far as I'm concerned, that we ask for this study early on in the next term, and that it be noted that this committee requests the department to inform us of what they have been studying and the outcomes. Thank you. Okay. Okay. Can I give you 5 minutes a break? Thereafter we'll be coming for the next presentation.
When it comes to the money, they celebrate.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the next one. Honorable Robinson. Robinson and Sege, we have started our meeting. Okay, for okay.
we must look at how we can make sure that the redress is done in a balanced way. There needs to be upfront planning in terms of performance. What I mean by upfront planning, it is difficult currently in the state of funding and trying to follow and find value for money in the Department of Women, mainly because of lack of performance planning. The goals seem to be shifting every time, the goalposts are moving, you never get to trace any trends from the time of started until now. So before the funding can be fully efficient and receive value from it, there needs to be proper performance planning and proper measures for performance and to be able to see the impact on the ground. So the gender dimension to fund it needs to be explicit. It needs to be that clear. The Women's Legal Center did a study in 2014 and they were looking at various departments that I've already mentioned, one of them being police and the justice cluster, basically to see whether or not they can be able to quantify the amount of money and also the performance of different departments when it comes to gender programs. It was very difficult because there is not disaggregated data that is readily available for you to be able to get the amount and also the impact on the ground. And they concluded that while the budget is one condition necessary for the implementation of this program, it is by no means the only requirement to rectify all the limitations. So even though the other programs may have funding to be able to do this, it is not the only panacea to the challenges that are in the sector itself. And the lack of budgeting policy framework to direct how and who gets how much for which priority. Currently, because of the nature of the Department of Women and how it came about, it is like they found other departments treat the function that focuses on gender as the adopted child. Somehow it is neglected and it is seen as something that they do but it's not their core function. So for that reason, it seems to be that it is not given the attention it so deserves. So collecting data from these departments will prove to be difficult. And collection of data is not going to be effective if you do not have the support of the departments themselves. To be able to demonstrate the effectiveness, data has to be collected in a disaggregated manner. What do you mean by disaggregated manner? There is what we call budget program structures within the National Treasury that we introduced in 2009. Programs are meant to assist us to be able to see and track and trace where funds are going. You see a program, it's supposed to tell you what this program does. But what you find in other departments, because you do not see gender programs as their core function, it will not be a sub-program on its own. It will not be a standalone program that is, has a program manager and that is being measured as other programs should. So that makes it difficult to get the disaggregated data that you need. You may be able to get it from other departments like police because they specifically in their programs look at the number of crimes that are reported, you know, victimization and all that. But it is not every department that does that. And for police, I believe that the legislations that they have force them to have something like that. Because now it is part of their core mandate to be able to do that and ensure that victims are taken care of. The justice cluster plays a very big role in this. Because now this is where women go to get the justice that they so deserve and also to be able to raise any issues that they may have. They need to know that there's an open door there. There have been various courts, there's what we call sexual courts, there's family courts and all those things that have been prioritized mainly to focus on the injustice that is done to women. Whether or not the Department of Women can find its role in terms of the coordination role they have to play in that scenario. I think that needs to be debated. But I do not think that women will be successful without the cooperation, and I mean full support and cooperation from other departments. National Treasury would implement, and they have said this to the Department of Women, any government endorsed gender responsible budgeting policy. The fact that there is no proper policy even till today that clearly outlines that if you are dealing with women from a social development perspective, from a policing perspective, from a labor perspective, this is how you will allocate and this will inform the function of that unit. That makes it difficult from funding perspective to say this is how you will allocate. And initially you will find that the impact is not seen because we have what we call Ellen Schick was quoted that if you do not have a plan, then the budget becomes the plan. Hence now we're still chasing a rental trend, saying what has it done. But then the plan was supposed to precede the budget. Because now, the reason why we can't move forward, we're raising issues about how the budget is not growing, how everything is not happening. But if there's a proper plan, I believe that a recommendation will definitely be made to be able to fulfill that plan. Okay. And every department that is performing any function that looks at gender-responsive budgeting or any gender-responsive program will all be assessed on the same basis as the Department of Women. So when a department makes a recommendation and says we need more funding, and they also have women on the top of their list, because like my quick judge mentioned that it's not a additional money for anyone. It's just a case of who has a stronger case to beat. And if your case is stronger and you can motivate for it and you have a plan, funds will be shifted and prioritized towards it. So if the Department of Health says maternal health mortality rate is an issue, maybe the HPV that we give to the young girl, the vaccine that is given to the young girls between 9 and 12 with the consent for the Department of Health, that will be considered with all the other recommendations and a decision made by the committee. And on that basis, that pressing need is evaluated also with the Department of Women. So you have to now say, what do I choose? It's not that everyone will get what they want. That is the sad truth. Okay. And I've already mentioned that we're working on a tight fiscal space. I guess I will say that allocations are guided basically by priorities that are listed in the National Development Plan. And I believe that women also play a very crucial role in that, because if we say people must be safe, victims in South Africa are women. And if we can make motivation based on that, that is enough for any committee to consider funding women. Corporate policies are submitted to the in the budget process and adjudicated, as George explained, that there's committees and then there's the Minister's Committee on the Budget. That is just one picture of the anniversary that happened previously. We are not saying that there is nothing that has happened in the past, let's say, 60 years. But we are saying that more can be done. We are saying there is still great inequalities. You know, South Africa is one of those countries in the sub-Saharan that have the largest social grant program. In the world, we have the largest AIDS program. And beneficiaries of that are women. Because when you disadvantage a woman, you disadvantage the community as a whole. And that is not something that is neglected or I don't think there is anyone who would argue against that. I would not be from the Treasury if I did not bring the slide. It's just a slide basically that says that our budget is high. And that graph that you see there, it just shows you the next stabilizing in the net debt stabilizing in the 2017-18 financial year. But that is not basically repaying, it's just the stabilizing. So I'm trying to say, when we do consider all these other pressing issues, we must also consider the tight fiscal space we're working within. Programs that have formally been submitted to the National Trade for consideration will be recommended to the Minister's Committee on the Budget. And on that table, you will see various sectors. And Honorable, Honorable Machis mentioned that you do not even see the percentage of women in the allocations. But that is the nature of the Department of Women. I am glad that we discussed the fact that we cannot treat it like any other department. We cannot have 278, as many as the municipalities are, Department of Women. We cannot treat it as the Department of Health. We cannot see it as any other department. We must take it in its unique nature and treat it as such. And understand that all those programs that have been funded, one and maybe more of them, have components of gender redress in them. I know that it's not the ideal situation, but this is currently what is happening. And the gender impact is not visible, but mainly because of the weakness of gender sensitive plan. Not because it is not happening at all. There's a directive, there was a directive in 2015 for government leadership programs for economic development and empowerment to have explicit gender dimension, and this should be extended, and we are in agreement with that. But what we said and what we are saying again is the Department of Women and the National Treasury can sit and discuss having a gender responsive budgeting and see how we can assist the departments that are implementing other functions that are related to their mandate, to be able to understand how we can assist them to get the disaggregated data that will help us to see value for money for what is already currently happening, before we can even look at what else can be done. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson and honorable members. I think as a preamble to our presentation, I may want to mention that based on the first presentation from Public Finance and this particular one, it is very clear that on the one hand, we don't have a very strong and effective department on women that would exercise its oversight over other departments in terms of monitoring and evaluation. That is very clear. It has been demonstrated through our deliberations. The fact that we are still grappling with the reforms around gender-sensitive budgeting doesn't make things any easier for departments to move with the speed that is required. So Treasury as a department is not very different from the challenges that you have raised, because the foundation is not solid. Therefore, you would see as we go through our presentations and the programs that we have implemented in support of gender mainstreaming in the department, you might see that most of the things we do is generally what the departments will do. Are they delivering the desired outcome and an impact? That is for the committee to discuss, but we will try to share with you as much what we do in that regard as a department. So straight to the presentation, Acting Chairperson. This was done precisely on the brief that we got from the committee. And the first part, as you would notice, it talks about the overview of Treasury as a department. It talks to gender mainstreaming strategy within the department. So here we're getting closer to home. My two previous colleagues were talking about how cross-government we should be doing things. And the thing that they were saying we should be doing across government, Treasury as a department has to do it as well in fulfillment of those imperatives. Then we will show you the remaining slides will basically talk about what we are doing internally as Treasury, and I hope to get some input so we can improve going back as the custodians of the financial resources. We must charity must start at home. Probably if we do it correctly at home, then we can replicate the successes across government. But it is very clear that we are still at an infancy stage as a country in this regard, or rather formalizing processes. So slide number 3 talks to the mandate of the Treasury. I'm not sure whether you have heard presentations from the Treasury, but I'm sure you are all aware of the important role that this institution plays amongst many other institutions in the country. But the area that I want to highlight for this particular presentation is the part that talks to social progress and rising living standards. Because the rising living standard, as we all know, it is imperative for the women folk of our country so that they can be able to be in a position that alleviates poverty, alleviates unemployment, and obviously it helps us as a country in terms of managing gender issues. But what George mentioned at the beginning was that we also support economic growth. So the challenge with not fulfilling this mandate is if the economy is not growing at the rate that is such that we can fund important projects amongst others, the gender mainstreaming project, we find ourselves in the situation that we were questioning why is the budget of Department on Women and not increasing at the rate that we would expect a country that takes its women seriously. So if there is no economic growth, everything stagnates, then there is trade-offs between those priorities of government. Now the question is, at what stage do we put women priorities at the top? At what stage do we say they remain as they are? The department is mandated by law, that is us, to be transparent, which I hope honorable members are aware that in terms of our budgeting transparency. I think at some point we were rated number 1 in the world and then we became number 2. So what this does is to show without hiding any figures, to say who do we fund for what purposes and what are the trade-offs. So transparency is very important in this process so that we cannot be accused of prioritizing other programs over the other. Managing the budget process, it was well captured by my two speakers. Then we move to the organization, Treasury as an organization. These are the barriers department or divisions within Treasury. I am heading the first one, Corporate Services, which is a supporting program one. Basically, Ministry, Deputy Minister, DG, and Corporate Service. They would form what we call Program One. The other important, they are all important, by the way. The next one is Asset and Liability Management. This is the division that normally goes to the market to raise debt, to cover the deficit between revenue and expenditure. So when you present a budget, obviously you have your spending side and then you have the revenue side. Most of it, I think, in the history of our country, is only 1 or 2 years, if I'm not mistaken, where we budget for a surplus. The other years, we budget for a deficit. So this is the department that, I mean, the division that goes to the market to source that gap by issuing bonds, foreign bond market, money markets. Public finance is the one that George was representing now, so we know a part of the things they are doing. The next one, budget office, is the one that Prudence is representing. And then you have intergovernmental relations. This is a unit that deals with the three spheres of government, your national, provincial, and local government. How the linkages between the three spheres of government to operate. Tax and financial sector policy, as the name would imply, is more about the tax policies that we share with the South African Revenue Services in their quest to increase their revenue questions. They're also very operating in the financial sector markets. International and regional economic unit is that unit that deals with, one, your Bretton Woods institutions, the African Development Bank, and many other multilateral organizations. Economic policy would deal with the modeling of our economic focus, a unit that would focus growth in collaboration with the South African Reserve Bank, Statistics South Africa, where we derive our modeling focusing. And then of course, last but not least, is the Office of the Accountant General that says accounting policies, accounting frameworks for the rest of the 3 years of government, so that when we report on a uniform framework. We don't let every department, every province, every municipality to report differently, because that way you won't be able to compare. Then the programs, I'm not going to read the descriptions thereof. I hope the members have had an opportunity to read them. But just is another way of reorganizing ourselves. If I started saying program one is Minister, Deputy Minister, DG, and Corporate Services. Program two is two divisions together, economic policy and tax and financial regulation. Program three is three divisions together here, public finance, budget office, the two colleagues here, including intergovernmental relations. It goes into this program, so the three divisions form one program. Program four is one division, so there's no confusion. The one division becomes a program in itself. Program five will be the accounting and the accountant general and the office of the chief procurement officer brought together. Program six, again, is one division in the international relations I've spoken about. Seven, very important program in our lives. This is the program that deals with post-retirement benefits and non-contributory benefits. So people who retire, benefits that accrue out of their retirement, like your post-retirement medical benefits, they get managing this program, your special pensions, you remember that, your military pensions, injury on duty. This is the program that deals with its impact directly on civil servants, as they are still working and as soon as they go on retirement. 9 and 10 are two entities on their own. 9 is staff, basically. This is the money we allocate to staff. So we get a budget allocation for SARS, we transfer it every month. And then number 10 is the Financial Intelligence Center and the State Security. Their budget also, we just get a budget and then transfer it every month. So, with all the challenges that have been demonstrated from the two previous presenters, let's see how Treasury in this fluid situation that is not solid, try to demonstrate what are we doing for women. I think it is by plan, not by default. It may not be what it's supposed to be, but these are the things that if we compare our performance in gender mainstreaming with the framework, how are we doing as a department? Is it good enough? Are we really planning up front for it, or some of the things happen by chance? I'm going to ask the director HR to take us through this, because I don't want him to go home not having said anything. He would be very angry with me that why did I take him here. So with the permission, acting chairperson, these are basically the statistics that we have captured, what is happening within National Treasury in terms of these areas, and then after we can engage, and I hope to get a constructive criticism, to get the advice as to the Treasury, how can we improve, and not just pay lip service to gender mainstreaming. It would be great to live also in this area, because women are an important part of our workforce, and then we need to really make sure that we take care of them. Thank you.
My name again once more. My name is Agarani Mustafa, Director of Talent Management, which is the HR. I think from the policy infrastructure, the department in 2013 has approved a gender mainstreaming strategy. This obviously was to ensure that we create an environment around which all the gender mainstreaming programs could be realized. And there are a number of policies that have been passed in supporting this strategy. Some of them were even passed prior to the passing of that gender mainstreaming strategy. In the department, we have a employment equity policy. We have a sexual harassment policy, and our recruitment and selection policy also does support the issue around gender mainstreaming. When coming to the issue of the promotion of women, staff members, and so on. We also have a talent framework in the department, which is obviously targeted at ensuring that the empowerment and upward mobility of women do happen in the department, especially on career management and development of our women that we have in the department. So these are some of the policy infrastructures that we have in the department, ensuring that a different number of programs do happen in the department. And then the second part that we have is that part of to some of the steps relating to specific programs that we do roll out as a department. You look at the first one, they talk to a discussion this morning about training and development opportunities for women. And then as National Treasury, we take that piece very seriously. We say, as first we promote our women staff members, we need to give them the necessary skills so that they are able to operate at a required level. As we know that the world does evolve all the time.
and the attitude of involved, the relevant skills also will be required, and hence we have this initiative. And these are some of the interesting that since 2013 up to 2016, this is a number of women who have participated in our learning and development initiatives. And in the financial year 2015 and 16, 16 women have participated in a specific women in leadership programs. Obviously, this is intended to ensure that those women who are charged with the responsibility of leading certain units or the management roles, they are able to perform their role as expected, equally to the role that men has been playing throughout the years. So training again becomes very key, ensuring that women are empowered accordingly. The executive coaching, we do have a senior managers who are participating in the this initiative in the previous 2015-16 financial year. We had four women participating in the executive coaching, also comes to training. And then what are the promotional opportunities? These are opportunities that such are informed by our recruitment and selection policy. In financial year 2015-16, of all the promotions that has happened within the department, 58% of those obviously will happen within the women's space, which is a good sense from the national general point of view. And we do have the secondment opportunities that we do embark on a regular basis. This is to ensure that at least we do send our women leaders or leaders to other international organizations to learn on how women are playing the significant role in the international space, so that at least once they are done with that settlement, they are able to come and blow back and empower some of the women who are obviously emerging and future leaders. So we have women who are currently out there in those different international organizations. We also have an internship program and other related training programs. We run this on an annual basis. And of all the graduates that are participating in our programs, 55% of those are women. And we also run our own internal bazaar scheme. This is for ensuring whether you have already a minimum participant that is required on post. We do recognize as an organization that you still need to educate yourself formally. So this is intended at, obviously, supporting our employees to ensure that they educate themselves further. So of the total number of the bazaar holders that we have, 90 of those belong to women, as opposed to the 68 that belongs to the male. And we have on an annual basis also run the external bazaars. This is for these young graduates who are outside, sitting outside the departments. We on an annual basis issue plus minus 10 bazaars, depending on the budget of the particular financial year. But currently, we do have 46% of our rent, but external bazaar holders are also women. The slide 9 talks to the environment. How are we obviously playing in this phase of ensuring that really women are able to feel things, they are accommodated within the environment that obviously national treasury is sitting. And what are some of the most supporting services that we do provide as an organization? We do have a feeding or a lactation room within the National Treasury Wellness Center. We do have a wellness center there, and there's a dedicated space where obviously women will go and do their own feeding, related activities and so forth. This has been obviously done as a result of the request that we've been receiving from women who say, we want to have this kind of a facility within the National Treasury feeding, and we've done that. And we do have an on-site cleaning service specific dealing with women as well. As part of our disaster talent management framework, we also do have a flexibility sort of setup working out. This is very important, that we know that women are obviously
taking care of their kids and so forth, some of them may not necessarily be able to be at work from 8 or up to 4. So we said, in case where there would be specific a need for our willing colleagues to come at 8 and leave at around 3 or so, such flexibility is there and being applied. These are some of the things that we have obviously been smart with some of the organizations, and it has been assisting us a lot as an organization. And also we support the supportive of children here workplace. There are at times, especially during the school holidays, where women would also be expected to be at work at the same time. They need to be taking care of their young ones. So the environment has been created in such a way that we do allow them to come there. We don't see those kids as being problematic as they come to work, because we acknowledge the role that women do, but we are not saying they are not supposed to come into work. They should come to work and be dedicated to now staying where kids will go there and play and support as a training department. And on the continuous development, on a regular basis, we conduct our own survey. That's to check what are the things that we can do as a department to improve on the gender mainstreaming matters. And then issues around promoting gender mainstreaming specifically. We do obviously participate in 16 days of activism and Women Month. Our induction program, we do have a structured induction program which also has introduced on the gender mainstreaming program. Participation of our department to interdepartmental gender forums. The department does participate in those related forums. And also the initiative, the second health health work, we also form part of that initiative on a regular basis. And I see that part is not the presentation that we have there. And then on the oversight, so monitoring and evaluation. At the intergender focal point, we as a department champion integrate the national treasury gender mainstreaming into other entities strategically, operationally, and environmentally. And then on the oversight part of it, we do have our own implementation equity committee, obviously, which sees how the issues around the EE are being realized or implemented in the organization. And on the developmental part of it, learning and development part, we also have a skills development committee. This obviously a committee oversees how the department is also taking care of issues relating to the development of women. It could be through these short learning programs or your formal bazaars that I alluded to earlier on. So this is the body that does and monitor as an organization on how we are obviously doing this specific thing. And then the reporting process, we have to comply with all the legislative requirements in terms of the reporting. We report to the GPFA, Public Affairs Commission, Department of Women and Children, and relevant annual report. And then on the employment equity profile, that is the picture that before us members, it shows us how the department is employing the women members in different levels. If you look at the top management there, we have 18 females as opposed to 18 males, which obviously make it 31% of the entire top management level there. And then obviously this is an issue that we are concerned is about, obviously, the decision that ensuring that at least we are able to make inroads in this area or whatever, we need to ensure that at least we take care of this and ensure that we get quite a number of women in this top layer of our department. And on the senior management level, these are from level 13 and 14, these are directors and chief directors. 47% of those are females, which amounts to 126 in terms of the numbers, as opposed to 53% of the male counterparts. And at the operational level, this is where between level 3 up to level 12, this is a deputy director, up to a level of deputy director, we have 60% of those are female, as opposed to 40% of roles that are male. And the total number there, we have 788 of our employees are females, as opposed to 560, which amounts to 44%. And then
some of the challenges and possible mitigating factors, we're saying we need to develop qualified females within NG specifically. And then we are saying the initiatives like our external bazaars, obviously intended at identifying women in those areas of the department, especially the care skills of the department, saying we should declare specific skills only for women in the department. And obviously there should be an ongoing engagement with the universities in ensuring that this will do increase the uptake by women students in those identified skills. And our internal development programs, as I indicated to earlier on. All the retention and attraction, would obviously continue rolling out internal development programs, and obviously the additional policies that support the life balance, obviously, should also be initiated. And then the last part, we have a procurement services from women. Whole company from the women point of view, what are some of the things that entities obviously address in this space? I think National Treasurer promotes and compliance is a procurement on the whole BDD transformation as stipulation, and we do comply in this area. And National Treasurer and procurement processes is responsible to suppliers, empower women. And then the issue around women-owned companies has not necessarily been attended to, but an issue that is being addressed by the organization. And with all those few words, I thank you.
Thank you. There's a circle for the non-honorable members can fail. Just to say that maybe next time we can get another venue, not Bishop, because we know it's this venue, so the forum is not. I would like to ask this to Ms. Kwele, as the President has given a directive to all the departments to look at the issue of gender responsive budgeting, mentioning the ocean economy and etc. We have been informed by the department that other departments have responded and others not. That means mostly departments are not taking seriously the issue of women. As the National Treasury, do you have any mechanisms to enforce the departments to do what they are needed to do? Because to us, it seems that we will continuously seeing and hearing the same problems, even if the funds are increased, if the funds are increased to the departments. But if women are not empowered not to depend on social grants, we will not see the economy growing in this country. Instead, we will continue seeing this country as a welfare state. But another question is around the issue of the percentage. At the National Treasury, what percentage do you have on the employment of disabled persons? What do you have? Do you think of a program of, you are saying that you have a program of taking a girl child to work? But we think of the problem of adopting a disabled person to work. As we have seen that most disabled persons are unemployed because the government department fails to reach the issues of reasonable accommodation to accommodate the disabled persons. That is why this package of 2% is not achieved by all departments. Do you think of it as a department, and what percentage do you have? Do you achieve that 2% employment of disabled persons? Honourable members, I'm going to give you the just honourable Machete, honourable Chair will start here and begin and come to you, Mam Kau. Thank you. In that order.
Thank you again to the department. Actually, I was a little bit uncomfortable when I heard Prudence saying that, the department has to put beyond staff that we need to be to get a better budget or whatever. And I think for us to really to put in a situation to say, can you please really advocate your issues? There was a study that was done by TMG that says the country we are spending from the different departments, we are spending about 109 million on gender-based violence. I think that's its own. It's something that needs to be looked at, because you'll have the different departments that are affected by gender-based violence. You're talking about social development, correctional services, health, justice, police, civil society itself is also affected by gender-based violence. So the money is already being spent. It's just placed in, it's just misplaced. And also, as the Honorable Acting Chair, said that the departments already, they have different programs. Programs that look at BEE, through BEE, they also look at the gender empowerment. You are allocating the money. You are saying to them, this is the amount of money that you are getting as a department. This goes towards BEE. This is towards men. And then at the end of the year, you ask them, can you please report on what you've done on the money? So you should be here telling us, we have given us this much money. Of the money that's allocated for women, this is what they've done. That's the type of reporting that we're expecting today. We need to know the money that you allocated to different departments, what have they done? They have to be accountable to somebody. They're accountable to us, but they have to be accountable to you. Because if you don't say, if you don't report on the allocation of money, we're not going to give you money. That's how you work. You say, if you're not using the money that is allocated for that particular program, and you're not using it, I'm not going to give it to you. So ever since the PPPE and the women empowerment has been part of the programs of the country, what is it that they've been doing with the money? And you have the ability to take that money away from them. What have you done with that? Why have you taken any steps towards making sure that you enforce? It's not about policies. You have the policies. The policies are there. To say that there are policies that bind the department, you should be able to enforce. How it is done, you have to find a way that how it's done. If there's a problem, you should say, this is the thing that should be happening. You have given them the money that they plan. That's basically what you're saying to us. And when you talk about also the public sector, I recently heard that Sun International, in that budget, they have an amount of 1.5 million every year that they have in their pockets for triple BEE, but that money is never spent. Do you ever ask them, what are you doing with that? So I'm just making an example of Sun International. So what is it that you as National Treasury are doing to make sure that the departments are held accountable? Because you are the one that has the money in the hand. Exactly what I was saying, to say, the gender focal points, if you pay them, then you can ask them to be accountable. So we haven't had the power yet. We don't have that power as a department, nor that power as a committee. But you have that power to do that. You have to ask what they've done with the money that you've allocated them.
Honorable members, I think we should have to ask a question. Because of time, we should be short so that we can be able to give the National Treasury to report. Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I think I want to just to elaborate further on what Honorable Majesty is saying, that the National Treasury has to help us to get women out of their position. It is your responsibility. You have the purse of national government. So if government is not performing, it means National Treasury is the one that's failing us. You know, Mem Prudence, you talked about policies in other countries, but why didn't you implement those policies? There are policies that you can implement from India. India has those 5-year programs that address women basically, and you should be advising departments to implement some of those issues, even if you're not implementing them as they are. But departments, you can say, strategically, this is what you can do in your plan, because you say your plan follows the budget. Then if their plans are not appropriate, and then you say, your plans are not appropriate, this is what you can include, and then we will fund you based on that. And in most cases, the department's budget, when it comes to women, I can give an IDC issue. IDC gives something like 200 million to women, and they have a budget of how much? And some of you is asking them, if you give 600 million, is it sufficient for women? Is this going to help women empowered? Is this going to take women out of the position? No, you're comfortable. And your strategy on gender and streaming started in 2013. When did we implement women's empowerment, equality, and of women. We talked about it in 1990 or in 1994 when we government. But since 1994, what was National Treasury doing for us? I don't know. And people will always say, no, we're still stretching, our economy is not performing. Even when the economy was performing better, did you empower women in the process? No. So, and I'm saying National Treasury, you need to take us out of this. There's another question I wanted to ask you. In terms of your staff composition, your staff doesn't tell us how much staff you have in that department, in terms of race and all that in gender, so that we understand who are these people that you have there. Because in terms of affirmative action, it says that the most of them are the ones that you are supposed to uplift. Who are you uplifting in that particular department? So we can't engage you because your space is very, it's very light on the sub-component. And the issue of children being, I like you nearly did what you wanted, you know, when you say that mothers are given a chance to nurse their babies and all that. Do you have a crash then? You don't have a crash. So when do you give them time for breastfeeding? That is a wellness center. It is not a human, you will never be blocked by the, by this thing. No, I was impressed with my patient, whatever. Yeah, I should have been to this thing. You know, I was impressed with this, but I was saying, the right that we won was that there must be a crash in every department, so that young mothers, if you have flexible hours, yeah. Even in Parliament, there's no crash. And we have been stressing to each other. In the 80s, we thought that each workplace, young mothers must be there to feed their babies there. They must bring their children to work, drop them at the crash, go to their offices. If the child is sick, they move from their office to the center right here in the workplace, which will you spend little time. So if your hours are flexible, it gives these mothers a chance to even bond with their children. Unlike a crash on the other side of the road or very far, every time the child is sick, the mother leaves the workplace and goes that way, unlike if it was in the same space. So our right was that young mothers must nurse their kids right there. And the flexible one is very good. I mean, I was happy with the workplace support, but you're not doing the correct thing. And then, Asia, on the issue of nations, I think at the end, where you say procurement processes is responsive to suppliers empowerment women, but the next one says procurement and suppliers data recording system currently does not track. What a contradiction. You see? So if you don't have records, so it means that there is nothing. And procurement is a department on its own department, but there are no records how many women you have empowered. Mm-hmm. And in terms of race and color, mm-hmm. I mean, in terms of race and gender, who are these women that you are empowering of BE and all that? Mm-hmm. So we can't engage you. You're not giving us things that we can engage you and be satisfied. But I think we still need to meet with National Treasury. We need decision makers of National Treasury to tell us where you need your director general, your DG and chief directors, because they need to give us answers. Thank you.
No, thanks, Chair. On the last issue that is raised by Honorable Jim, that the procurement is responsive to suppliers that were women of the that it does not track. It means that we don't have a list, because I wanted the list of all the women and suppliers, so that you can see who are those who are the next one. And on the other issue,
you know, the our department, we call it Department of, you know, Donate Children at Church. Yeah, children are left long ago, so my chapter is correcting.
You know, we don't know who you are.
Yeah, we don't know who you are. Yeah. All of them and disabilities. And the other thing, on slide 8, there's no consistency here. When you talk about training, you make it, you know, you wrote the number. And from 13 to 16, from the year 2013 to 16. But when you deal about all this other training, your women in leadership statistics range from 15 to 16, and you talk about the numbers, 15 women, and others, you talk about the percentage. Mm-hmm. So there's no consistency here. So when you talk about this financially, it must be the same, 15, 16. So here there's no consistency, and you don't know the number of the, you know, the total staff component of that. So you can't be able to gauge how many women have been, you know, how many women do you have, or how many staff, how much staff do you have in your department, so that you can be able to gauge the services. And on the other issue, I want to agree with Mrs. Taylor that we don't have a legislation in place in the country in terms of the women's empowerment, yeah, and gender equality. You know, previously we had a wage bill, we call it a wage bill. Unfortunately, that bill was straightforward. We wanted to enforce, you know, compliance, 50-50 compliance across the board, either in the department or in the private sector. It's unfortunate that many NGOs and other political parties, especially opposition parties, were against that bill. And then we ended up, you know, not a proceeding with that bill. But that was a good bill to me. And I think that we must make sure that we reopen the discussion around it. The other issue, I agree with you that this department is unique, but we must take cognizance that, you know, in the provinces, you've got unit offices that are dealing, you know, they are implementing very similar mandate as our department. But when we discuss about the mandate and the budget of the department, you're just only focusing on the national department, forgetting that we've got unit offices in all the provinces. So going forward, we must be able to engage them and see how best can we, you know, include all these stakeholders, include all these offices, and have a uniform approach. Because in the provinces, other units, your OSLO in others are in the premier's office, and in other provinces are in social development, so, you know, there's no uniformity in other provinces. So national treasury, we must take it forward to make sure that there is uniformity in all the provinces. And accountability too.
I'm Colin.
Izale yomlungu ithi na 18 years yesifazane ayisukuma lesifazane usunga ekuyibona uhamba amakhiwu lapha lokuthi uyofuna lo transcendent mina ngalokho anginili lutho ngishulekile nomnyango wenu ukuthi ngempela ubhekele labantu besifazane okunye engifuna ukuxoxa lana abantu besifazane nijwayele ukuba nama TV lapha komshini Koking Edward, Koma Gandhi. Baya Beleta, Baya Kumezeta,
I'll try and address most of the questions.
is it grants in terms of federal grants or grants in terms of other sector-related grants?
Social grants, because these are able bodied women.
In answering the questions, I first have to make a disclaimer. George was speaking as a public finance official. He is not the intricacies of the issues and all the little small details of the Department of Women, because we was the budget of women. But I'm trying to elaborate on even things like the grant question. So the issue of social grants is a decision to be made by the Department of Social Development. The person that will be able to give you a detail of the process and the plan will possibly be a budget analyst also for social development. So the role that I play as a budget reform, from budget reform perspective, I can only say, going forward, in the planning process, could we issue guidelines in terms of what goes into the budget and what can be considered? That is my role today. That's why I'm thinking about responsive budgeting. But for specific allocations related to certain roles, meaning departments, the budget analyst for that sector would have to tell you specifically. Even when it comes to the CBDA, I don't know if Mr. Mkomizi will be able to access me there, but if I can't get hold of the EME that brings up, which has the details in terms of the allocation for each and every entity, it will tell you how much is allocated for the CBDA. It's public knowledge, and I'm sure we can find it on our estimate of national expenditure. So I can look for it for you as well and assist you. But we want to really know about specific amounts, yes, to speak to the relevant sector experts. Okay.
I think you can send the response to our secretary.
Yes. I will take it to the secretary and say this is how much they want to know about this, and we can send the response formally. On the first question about, I agree with you, we need women empowerment and we don't want to be a welfare state, and we can't be that country, we refuse to be that country. What mechanisms do we have in place? We have been accused so many times of acting like the superpower of government. The Department of National Treasury has a mandate of its own, and part of its mandate is that we have now learned is not to do what other departments should be doing themselves. So it makes it very difficult for me to say there was a directive and I go around saying, yes, if I allocate the funds, the directive say I need to trace where the funds are going. But I cannot play the coordination role if there's a department that needs to play that role. I need to be able to enable and let the department play the role they need to play. But if you want every sector department or another judge, like a director who works on specific sector, to come and say, these are the indicators for Department of Health that are related to gender, they can get you that. Yes. So, but I can't say, this is how much I know exactly for police. I know I'm aware of it because in the consolidation of our reporting in the estimate of national expenditure, I get to see the indicators. That's how I know police has indicators. But I will not know all the indicators for different 40-something odd rooms. Yeah. So I do not think it is an impossible task. It can be done. But the sector departments need to, budget analysts need to give that information to you. And the argument then can be said, why do you need the Department of Women if you can get this data from the National Treasury? Because they will say to me as an analyst, but what is my role? I'm supposed to just allocate funds and trace them. Why am I reporting to the portfolio committee on this? Why isn't the coordinating department doing the role itself? I think the idea is we try by all means, to let other executive authorities be executive authorities. But we will make the inputs that we need to make. At the first installation, thank you.
Chairperson, let me try to respond on the treasury specific questions that were asked. Maybe start by alluding to the fact that we take note and cognizance that some of the statistics or the reporting here is not consistent and therefore did not assist you with interrogating us further. But if I would refer you to slide 11 where we talk about the reporting, we report quarterly to DPSA, PSA, Department of Women, but it is very clear that obviously the monitoring and evaluation thereof is not strong. It's not what it's supposed to be. Therefore, that gap is very apparent in our first, I think this is our first attempt to put the presentation together for this portfolio committee. So we welcome those inputs. They are very valuable. We will ensure that our reporting is consistent. It makes your life easier so that you can engage us in more detail. Most of the information shared that was asked for example, the statistics generally on HR in detail dealing with all other levers over and above the gender mainstreaming. We do have those details in our annual reports. Maybe what sometimes when you get an invite and you think you want to report only what you think would be applicable to the committee, it's not always easy to cover all areas. But in future, if you call my DG and the other EXCO members, maybe allow us to engage upfront via our parliamentary office what gaps we should try to close, what information should really be there. That would help us a great deal. The point you made, Acting Chair, in terms of our disability figures, we are at 1%. We are like most departments that are just failing to make the 2% thing. But it's a number of challenges that we're not even sure whether we have not exceeded 1%. And I'm sure the challenges you are aware of. If a disability is not a clearly visible thing, most people are reluctant, as my colleague here would tell you, to disclose their disabilities. They say, because our hope when we employ you, and we even do it annually to assess the status of a disability in any form, you find that the response is not what you would expect in terms of a submission of the form. But I take your point that maybe as we do a girl child to work program, and we look into take a person with a disability to, I think that is something that we would look into, and I would request Mr. Moseva to ensure that when we come here next time we would have done that, because I don't see it being very difficult. It's not difficult. It's just the thinking. Maybe we did not think about it. Once we have raised it, it is something that is very doable, and we will be proud to do that. We do have a number of persons with disabilities at the Treasury, and that even have assistance allocated to them, mostly those who are visually impaired. So we do support it, and we feel pride when we have such people amongst our needs. So we will ensure. Actually, I can almost promise you that we will have such a program. the issue of internship placement very, very high and successful in the tertiary. On a rotation basis, every year we have 73 interns. They are on a rolling, so our internship program is 2 years. The first year, is the third year, this cohort, which would be almost half, gets absorbed, and then you go into the market to, I think, I don't know here if we have any product of our internship, if that's you, she's one of our internship program, but the numbers are nearly more than 50%. So most of our interns get absorbed after 2 years, probably because of the high turnover rate in the treasury. Our people at entry level of level 9, 10, 11, the turnover is very high because they go and join other departments. So it gives us an opportunity to retain. In corporate services alone, I think currently people who started as interns and now they are permanent, they are over 10. So we don't just train. And after 2 years, we say, thank you very much. No. But I don't think it's a end product of planning. We just happen to be in an environment that as people, the turnover and the attrition happens, we are in a position to retain the interns. It would be a different situation if people stay there, don't go. It will be a challenge maybe too. But so far, our prayers are being answered. The seating and rotation thing, I think, shared. I'm not sure if he responded it correct. I don't think this part, as a man, I must not use the wrong wording, otherwise I'll get out of here. This part we're talking about is not them bringing the young ones to work. It's when a person has just returned from maternity and then apparently they go into their room and take out not the feeding, they take the milk into... No, but the fact is that is something like that. Because you can't do it anywhere. I mean, you need a specific... Well, some cultures... Would be a wrong mind. It's fine, man. On the issue of the contradiction on procurement, I think it is an unintended contradiction. Remember previously, we used to have HDI, right? So in the HDI, historically disadvantaged, you have a specific points for women. So you know if there's women, this is the point. But since we have changed the system from HDI to BBBEE, it does not specifically show, so the certificate takes all those things into account, including women. So it's no longer disaggregated. It is included in the score of a BE certificate. So what you are saying is, that being the case, with the introduction of the central supplier database from the office of the chief procurement officer, once you register, because from now onwards, only entities that have registered can make a business with government, those statistics we will be able to use, and they will tell us which companies are women-owned and all the rest. So it's not really a contradiction. Maybe it's the way we have explained it. Is there anyone else want to add? Yeah, we will be moving to a new building. As you are aware, as treasury, we are in the building that was built in 1942, the Pretoria CBD, so that is not very friendly to the number of things. You cannot have a canteen, a gym. So what we are doing now after all these years is to move to a new green. Yes. It's like Parliament.
Yeah.
The issue of the I think issue of the CBDA is an entity reporting to us, and so the best we can do, we don't want to speak on behalf of other people and we give wrong information, so we will make the answer accessible to the committee.
Yes, I just want to get clarity on what I'm going to send in response. Is it just the CBGA or do you want also the performance information for different sectors as well?
Yeah, the mandate of CBGA is to establish, it's not necessarily to establish, but to regulate CFIs. But already, the Hammer Church, they have some CFIs, but I don't know how many are operating, you know, how many are in existence now. And I know there's a bank, there's one that is graduated to a bank, but I just want to know also how many banks are there currently and what are the plans of CBDA and what is it that they're doing, because we need to know, I mean, if you are allocating money to them, there should be accounting to you at some stage to tell you, you know, if their program is working, because as far as I can remember, a lot of their CFIs were closing. And I don't know how yours is doing. You should maybe, are you part of the CFI? No? Okay. No, it's fine. So I just wanted to know, like, you know, if it's a program that is working, because that's a program that could actually assist women in the rural areas to establish banks.
Hello, members. I think we have all the responses. Because of time, I think we have managed to get all the responses from the National Treasury, except to say that the outstanding responses will be given to the Secretary to manage. Oh, okay, no, we will have an arrangement next time to meet the DG and other chief directors on some of the issues that have been raised here. Okay, ma'am.
The issue of the office
deals with the public office, budget office. That budget office is supposed to do report. You can budget reforms in terms of different departments. That is why I was saying the question I asked was appropriate, was your question on the exit programs. If the government comes with no exit programs for women, those able to be, you can suggest how they can come out. So you can use lessons that you have learned from other countries where you come up with the reform plans. And reform is something that we don't want. We want proper banks and reform is very important.
In the
sense
that
okay, I think we have finished with the National Treasury. I will release them for now. Okay, release. Okay. few announcements to make. The minutes, the adoption of the minutes. Because some of the members have left already, we are not going to adopt the minutes. Just to say that we must go and read those minutes. And when we come out next time, then we will be calling you adopting those minutes. Sorry, another thing that... members, still in the meeting. Honorable Machete, you sit down, the meeting is still on. Or the other thing is that we can't
be able to adopt the minutes that I have said, but you must go and read the minutes because you have it in every system. You don't have it. Oh, okay, that's the PG notes. You must go and check that. So, because of time, we haven't able to look at those minutes because we need to read them thereafter we adopt those minutes. So I'm going to give a chance to read them. And the other thing is another announcement is that we are not going for oversights because the Department of Agriculture, the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture and Fisheries has withdrawn from the oversight trip that we are going to take to Mpumalanga. So now we don't know that we don't have any reason from them. So it seems as if we are unable to go there alone as this protocol committee because this was a joint oversight. The other thing is around the issue of the term of office for the commissioners of CGE. Okay. No, the other thing is around the issue of the termination of office for commissioners. Honorable members, we have written a letter to the speaker around the issue of the termination of the speakers because as the peace portfolio committee, we felt that some of the positions should be the continuous position. And for the speaker to give us the night what is happening because you know that the commissioner some of them are term of office is ending it in January. Yeah. So if for now we are going for sales, then from there we are going back for the break and this will hinder the service delivery. So we thought that we should write a list to the speaker to ask the speaker what are we going to do because if there is anything that the speaker will say then it will lighten up on us what to do. Whether the speaker is going to create an ARCO committee to do the shortlisting of all those commissioners that are leaving or whatever. But we have written a letter to them. Especially on the issue of the chairperson in our commission, where we want them to continue. But Constitution. Yeah, but we will hear from the speaker, but she's going to tell us to enlighten us about the issue. Thank you very much for attending, okay?
Yes. I think that matter will be considered. The new issues that Honorable Matthew is raising, but the other committee will deal with all those difficulties. If you like, yeah, for me, yes, I think they must bring all the legislations in place and, yeah, for providing them. Unfortunately, the upset must be done by the Department of Women. Yeah, before we establish an adult committee or the process must run concurrent, the minister of the minister of the Department of Women must advertise the post and take all the CVs to Parliament and Parliament must see to it whether they form an adult committee or they give us as the solo committee to do the job. Yeah. That's the requirement.
Thank you, honorable members. Thanks for attending.
Thank you.
Bye.